always glad to have you join us for Power Walk with our teacher, Pastor Paul Cannings. Our current series is titled, The Heart of a True Worshipper. As a community, we get so excited about our favorite celebrities, game shows, entertainment, and most of all during the sports seasons. We have parties centered around these events. And yet most of the time, chances are we don't even personally know any of these people. Well, today, Reverend Cannings urges us to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who gave his very life for us. Encouraging us to get to know our Heavenly Father more intimately, here's Reverend Cannings with today's message titled, Choosing to Celebrate God.
He will never give us more than we can bear. This is the God that watches over us day and night. I know you got an alarm system, but there were days when you didn't, and God kept you. That alarm ain't keeping you. It is God that is still keeping you. That alarm just give you peace of mind, but God is the one that keeps the folks off your house.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I remember watching the flood come up to my back door. Right to the back door. I mean, this is where the back door starts. This is where the water starts. I open up that door. I didn't need no music. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't care what neighbor was looking. I said, God, you're a good God. You're a great God. I praise your name. That water knew where to stop.
Woo! Yes, Lord.
That's why they celebrated him. Things weren't perfect in their lives right now. It was still bad. Could you imagine being a mother and you don't know where your daughter is? Could you imagine that? They didn't take your daughter when she was 20-something. They took her when she was 13, 14, or 15. She's gone. There ain't no Amber Alerts. You got no army to go fight to bring your daughter back. Could you imagine that? You are here celebrating God, and you don't know where your child is. You don't know where your son is as a slave to whose house. But you celebrate God in that, yes, God, we thank you that now we can come back together and we can sincerely worship you. Even though, yes, we went through what we went through, but we realize it's because of our own hearts. Our unwillingness to come to your worship and give you praise and to celebrate you for who you are. We were too busy caught up in who we are. It wasn't your fault, God. It was us. That's why they wept and cried in chapter 9. They realized we created this mess. That's why you start seeing the words in verse 27 like gladness. In verse 27, hymns of thanksgiving with songs and the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, lyres. This ain't enough music. Cymbals. Harps, string instruments, cymbals, bam! They were making noise. That's what I love about the Bible. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Make a joyful noise. God don't care how it is. He's more concerned about what's coming from the heart than sometimes how pretty it is. Could you imagine? You don't have no choir practice in the wilderness. So sometimes he says, just make a noise unto the Lord. And he says, if you can't make a noise, shout! Unto the Lord.
Yes.
Come on, act like he's done something for you.
Yes, Lord.
I keep telling people, I sometimes get jealous of watching people go crazy over a football team.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. I've seen my neighbor depressed when the Astros lose. We get depressed over stuff like that. Why? We have a heart for it. And because we have a heart for it, we can't even come to church and sing to God. We're depressed. We're depressed if God don't put a lot of money in our pocket. We're depressed if he doesn't get the car for us. We're depressed if he doesn't solve all the health issues. And God is going, look at how many other things I've done. Let your kids come home like that. I'm depressed that I didn't get to eat some ice cream tonight. I'm depressed that you didn't buy my tennis shoes that I asked you to buy. I'm depressed that when I walk in the house, it wasn't clean the way I want it clean. I'm depressed. You let your kids walk up in the house like that, and you tell me how you would react. This is God's house.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. They sang to him. And here's the part where everybody get quiet. They gave to him. Look at verse 44. They come to worship him. But when you realize, I want you to picture this for a minute. Every time you planted your fields, the enemy sat over there drinking, getting drunk, and laughing. And as soon as you reap your crop, put it in bags, set it up in your storerooms, they would come, steal your crop, so that they don't have to do no farming all season. So now during the winter when you can't plant, your family starves. But now you're coming into the temple and your crop was planted and you're able to take it to your family. Now you're coming into the temple and everybody that's scattered are now back together. You come into the temple and you realize that when you ate that morning, it had to be because the holes were filled and the wall was reestablished. And so now the only reason you're eating and your family's together and you now have your home that you could build is because God has been inaugurated into the wall. You don't see nothing as coming from what you did. You see everything as coming from what God has done. That's why when a person learns to dedicate and to worship God, giving is easy. Giving is why I refuse to do a big song and dance around here. If your heart isn't right before God and the preacher's just making you do it, the issue is where your heart is. You don't have any problem going out and buy a car you can't afford because your heart is there. Some people buy perfumes for $200. Can you imagine buying a perfume for $200? I remember going shopping with a preacher. And he took me to the store where the shoes was alligators and all this other stuff for $400. I said, man, take me back home. I ain't buying no shoe for no $400. I got kids to send to school. But just to look the part was expensive. We have no problem spending money on ourselves. Why? Because we worship ourselves. Look at how their hearts were. In verse 44 he says, and on that day men were also appointed over the chambers of the stores. What does it mean? Do you know what they had in the storerooms? A bunch of junk. They didn't even have the offering utensils available for offerings. That's how much they forgot giving to God. And building their own homes. They had to go clean it up. Put people over it. Because nobody was over it. They was full of junk. Nobody ever watched what was in there. Why? It was junk. At one point in time, they had a Gentile living in the rooms. That's how much they came to God so occupied with themselves. So occupied themselves. They didn't think to bring anything. And the storerooms were empty. I keep telling y'all, Satan tricks y'all. He keeps telling you the church is ripping you off. When you're saying that, broke, but you have a job. So somebody took your money. Satan took it, and he's brought stress with it. Got you buy things you can't afford, stress you out. Talking about the preacher trying to take your money. Preacher trying to take your money. Satan knows that if God's storerooms are full, your storerooms will be full. So what I got to do is I got to make you think God is cheating on you so I can keep taking from you. That's what Satan does. So he keeps tricking you into thinking, oh man, God is after your money while he takes it. And then when God decides to put holes in your wallet, then he tries to tell you it's God. Just look at God. There's no God. If there was a God, then your house wouldn't be leaking. If there was a God, if you wouldn't have problems in the car. And he tricks you into thinking, I got to hold on to more of it. That's exactly what was going on in the book of Nehemiah. They kept holding on to it. Go to Haggai. Go to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai says, God has put holes in your wallet. Because what you have done is you have neglected his place of worship. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet saying, it is time for you yourself to dwell in panel home houses. This is before the wall was ever established. While the house of God lies desolate. Therefore thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but you harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. In other words, you got stuff, but the more you buy, it still don't satisfy your happiness. It doesn't change anything. He says, you don't have enough to get drunk, but you put on clothing. But no one is warm enough. In other words, you drink, you get drunk, but you got to get drunk again. Can you never get drunk enough to get rid of the problems that you feel? But no one is warm enough. He who eats wages to put in a purse with holes. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains or bring wood. This is how much they neglected God. You get there when you come, as we said, and stir your heart to worship. And when we stir our hearts to worship, we remind ourselves of all the things that God has done. And when we remind ourselves of what he's done, then it's a sense of appreciation and gratitude that brings the gift. What makes me go home and rattle bottles on my mom's counter or on the dining table? I checked on her medications. The older I got is the more I appreciated her for who she is. So it was easy to have a heart of gratitude because I had matured enough to see this person has done so much for me and sacrificed so much for me. So I'm willing to do whatever she needs. Son, would you help me grout the floor? Yes, ma'am. Would you help me clean up the garage? Yes, ma'am. Done. Because we don't first come with a heart to celebrate God, it's hard to give. Because we don't remind ourselves of what he's done. So we just want from him. That's why they said this about a heart of gratitude. It was the first fruits.
Thank you, Dr. Cannings. It's true. God does want our worship to be from our heart. I pray that God will help us to be authentic in our worship of him. For a copy of this message or the entire series, please give us a call at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402.
I am always excited when God provides us the opportunity to serve the church, because the church is the only organism that he's committed to impact the community and the world. And that's why Power Walk partnerships with Sedine Ministry on March the 5th through the 7th, in order to serve the church, whether it's in how do we solve church conflict and come out in a more productive and efficient manner, whether it's the prison ministry, whether it's developing a counseling ministry in the church, or how do you get leaders to be strategically effective in impacting the needs of people within the local church for the glory of God. That's what this conference is about, and we invite you to it, March the 5th through the 7th. All you have to do is go to powerwalkministries.org. And you will find information about the conference on our website. Everything that you need is provided at the conference, including meals. The speakers are well-trained, well-equipped. I look forward to seeing you.
That's powerwalkministries.org. And now remember, the thing that most pleases God is our worship of him. So let's not be negligent in this most important part of our lives. Please join us again tomorrow for the concluding message in this series, The True Heart of a Worshipper.